Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A Lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It's another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on both Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we try to make sense of them. I am Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers.
So, you guys, two things. First thing is, I did a stand-up comedy gig on Monday. And the way that I got this stand-up comedy gig is because it's someone who listened to our podcast and loves our podcast. So I did stand-up comedy at this show in Minneapolis, and he totally promoted our podcast.
Oh, nice.
So
wow, that's great.
I want to give a shout out to the Minnesota Monday Night Comedy Show and Woo-hoo! to Andy Brindelson, because he really totally shouted us out. And yay! I did the show online. I guess there was over 200 people watching. So we shall see. Yesterday, I also did a virtual talk show, the Jenny McNulty Show, and promoted the podcast. She likes our podcast too. And watch the Jenny McNulty Show Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays online on Facebook Live. And okay, so remember I told you guys that I was invited to watch this staged reading that is like top secret.
Yes.
So I can't say what it is.
Right.
So I got a message a couple of days ago. Oh, I was invited to be in it, but it's still top secret. But okay. It's in a couple of weeks, and so yeah, it's a Hallmark musical based on a Hallmark movie.
Based on an actual, like a Hallmark movie that exists, or just sort of like a Hallmark style movie? Hallmark style movie.
So I've gone from consultant to actress.
I can see that. Well, the major takeaway from this for me is we have people listening.
I know, right?
That is fantastic. What?
The major takeaway from this is we have people listening, but Les is getting all the gigs out of it.
I feel pressure. Yeah, he is. But, you know, it'll come around.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get. That's the way I'm thinking. I was thinking the same thing, but then I convinced myself it'll come around. As that's what was going on in my head as Les was talking.
Okay.
It will.
Of course it will. I hope. Yeah, it's good. So that's great. So there's all kinds of other things. I did start watching Cobra Kai, mm-hmm. even though it's been around technically for a couple years.
Yeah.
I love it.
How far are you guys? Because I'm, I think, 4 or 5 episodes into the first season.
I'm season two.
I finished season one.
I will say
it was very good.
What did you think at the beginning of the season when you were watching at the very beginning of the series?
I was not impressed with the beginning.
To me, it felt a little bit like fanfic.
Yeah,
it felt like fan fiction because it was like they were trying to fit in all these things that were related to the movies. And then they finally start settling into letting the series be its own thing, and I like that.
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that the actor who plays Johnny Lawrence, what's his name, William
Zabka,
something with a Z, Zabka. I think he seems a little rusty in the beginning, but then he warms up throughout. He gets better.
Yeah.
Well, did he go on to do other things, or was that pretty much it?
He hasn't done a lot. He was in Back to School, but he was in like movies like that in the 80s, but I don't think he's done a lot of acting recently. And so, and now he has a lead role in a series, but
right.
He definitely gets better as he goes along as a performer.
Yeah.
And I kind of think of it like it kind of sneak attacked me almost like Schitt's Creek, like sneak attacked me where all of a sudden I started to like it and didn't realize I was liking it until an episode ended and I'm like, oh my God, I need to watch another one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very addictive. And I always felt that the Karate Kid Part 2 was a very good sequel.
Same.
In the way that it satisfied, the first movie had like a little bit of, it had a satisfaction with the first movie, and then it created its own story. And so now with this show, this Cobra Kai show, it just works really well because it's kind of a nostalgia thing, but it really works well on its own.
Well, get this, you guys. Okay, so I'm into season two. Season two's better than season one. And season two, they're kind of leaning into the whole 80s thing. Like, you know the black girl, Aisha?
I haven't even met her in season one yet.
Well, I must have. She's in season...
You met her, but, like, in the beginning, she was just the girl's
friend. I know who she is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
okay.
She ends up having a bigger role as the season goes on.
Yeah. Right, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Well, you know who plays her mother? I know. Kim Fields.
Oh, I did hear this. Yes.
Well, she's not in season one, but I'm very excited.
So, season two, they're leaning into the whole 80s thing, so it becomes really fun because all these people are, like, popping up now. So that makes it even better.
Do you think around Kim Fields' home, she refers to it as season 2D?
Right.
That's awesome.
And it was her, because she, by the way, she looks great. Mm-hmm. She looks fantastic. But I didn't recognize her until she started talking, and then I recognized the voice.
Oh, okay.
You didn't watch Living Single? She was in that for a while.
I did. She was Regine.
Or the pilot to the comeback?
She made a comeback?
She's in the pilot. She plays herself in the pilot.
Well, she did a season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
She did?
She did?
Yes. She lasted one season. And she's, you know, I mean, she's an actress. She's not Ratchet. So she didn't, you know, it was not for her.
Ratchet? You mean like Nurse Ratchet?
No, Ratchet. Yeah. Explain no more Ratchet is less.
Okay, Kurt. Okay.
See, there's a show on too called Ratchet, right?
Yeah.
Right. So this is a different kind of Ratchet. There is a slang
back
term.
In the day, kids would say whack.
Right.
Yeah, whack. Yeah. That's what I heard.
Right. Like, okay, who would be Ratchet?
Ratchet. Okay, not Ratchet. How would I know what people are saying?
Ratchet is kind of like trashy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like trashy.
Yeah.
And that's Ratchet. And yeah. And does it stem from Nurse Ratchet from One Flew the Cuckoo's Nest?
Well, put it this way.
She wasn't trashy.
Put it this way. Our friend of the show, Angela White, otherwise known as Black China, has been accused of being Ratchet.
Yes.
I don't think she's Ratchet. But
no.
Some people have accused her of being Ratchet.
Speaking of Black China, do you have any Black China news, Kurt?
Yes.
Oh. China. 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 I have to have my China.
China!
And now, the Black China Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
This is from page6.com. It's recent news, September 17th, 2020. Black China says, my flex. By the way, I don't know what that means either. My flex is receiving no child support from Rob Kardashian, Tyga. Black China is now proud of receiving no child support from exes Rob Kardashian and Tyga after fighting it for years. My biggest flex, I mean, just honestly taking care of my kids by myself as a single parent, but no child support, she said on Sirius XM's Hip Hop Nation last week. So that's my biggest flex. That's what's up. China 32 shares 7-year-old King Cairo with ex Tyga and 3-year-old daughter Dream with ex-fiance Rob Kardashian. China and Kardashian settled their child support battle in March 2019. Kardashian 33 had been paying China $20,000 per month, but requested his payments be lowered because his financial situation had changed. His request ultimately came through as a judge ruled both China and Kardashian should only be responsible for paying for their daughter's needs. China hasn't asked for child support since the ruling. A month prior to settling with Kardashian, China says she didn't want his or Tyga's money. Cut that child support shit out, she said. Just cut it out, period. In 2017, China called Tyga a bitch because he allegedly didn't help her financially. Next for Tyga and Kardashian didn't immediately return a request for comment.
Could you imagine Black China in court? The judge, cut that shit out, Your Honor.
Just what? I also like the. She's a bitch.
He's a bitch. She called Tyga a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, and then think about it. So, Kurt, like every time you report on Blac Chyna, she's doing some sort of job or some sort of gig. I bet Blac Chyna probably makes more than both of them. I bet she does. She's always
I don't know what they do. I'm not sure.
Well, Tyga's a rapper.
Okay.
And a pretty big one. Rob, you know, he has that sock line that's probably not doing really. I bet she's making more. I bet Tyga's making more than her.
But she's probably making more than Rob.
Yeah. But Rob also has the Kardashian family fortune, so probably doesn't really need to work.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
True.
And they got this fortune because their dad was the lawyer.
I mean, just from being on the show. Is it Kylie or Kendall? One of the younger. Not women, but, you know, they started out on the show when they were teenagers, is worth $1 billion.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah. How?
Makeup.
Makeup.
I need to get in the makeup industry. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, she has makeup.
People will buy the Kurt Fitzpatrick makeup.
You think Kurt Fitzpatrick? Hey, look, maybe I'll make 20,000. Like, it'll be a failure, but I get 20,000. A billion.
Yes, a billion.
And the thing is, say what you will about Kris Jenner, but Kris Jenner is, like, smart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So Kris Jenner, like, wheels and deals. And so, put it this way, she took her daughter's porn tape and went, we're going to turn this shit around and make it work for us.
Oh, yeah, she knows how to build an empire. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Porn tape. We haven't talked about so much. There's so much stuff. I wrote down, there's Chris Evans, there's Aunt Viv, there's... scissoring. I was going back in our messages. I saw something about. I was reminded that I was fascinated by scissoring. There's just so much. We might need a spinoff show.
So okay. So how
do you want to? Do you want to address any of these things?
Yes. Okay. Let's address them all. Let's start with Chris Evans.
Okay.
Now I missed it. Jason, did you see it?
I saw it. It wasn't a great photo of it. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Chris Evans, Captain America, he was in a, I don't know if it was Heads Up or he was playing.
Yeah, Heads Up. Yeah,
he was playing some sort of game and accidentally shared a screenshot of his photo album. And, you know, and so like in the photo album, you have all the little like the little tiles of all the different photos. And one of the photos was of his erect penis.
I think I saw it. I was curious about what this was. It was hard to find, but I found it on like a Reddit thread. And I don't know if it was him because there's no face. So I was like, I've seen it.
And now you have that in your search history, Kurt.
What's weird is when there was a big controversy of all the women, like, I wanted to mention a name so people don't look them up. There was a bunch of ladies who had nude photos of them got released. I didn't look them up because out of respect for them. But this Chris Evans, I looked up.
Well, Chris Evans also, he played it really well because he basically, you know, he owned up to it. He didn't try and deny that it was him. And he kind of had fun with it and, you know, said, okay, now that you've seen it, you know, get out and vote. Basically try to turn it into a PSA for things that he believes in. And I was like, yeah, I appreciate that. Cause it's like,
good for him.
Just like, whatever. Yeah. People are going to move on. If you're just like, yep, was me. Let's move on to the next thing.
And as somebody said in some article, why don't we just accept the fact that people actually enjoy their sexuality or enjoy, things like what's the big deal? Really?
Yeah, no, it's true.
Leave it alone. Don't be so uptight.
It's true. It's kind of funny that you mentioned that because there's that movie that's out that people are like pissed off about.
Oh, Cuties?
Yeah, Cuties you're talking about?
Which I actually watched.
Yeah.
But I watched it as an I watched it as someone who's going to be a parent soon, so I watched it with a different eye. And the thing is so it was cringy, but it wasn't cringy in the way that people were saying it was cringy. Like it wasn't, people were saying it was child pornography. It was not that. People were going off about like there was only one scene where they were wearing their little outfits, and the outfits weren't even, you know, I don't know if it's living in LA and being desensitized or what, but the outfits weren't outfits that 11-year-old girls should be wearing, but at the same time, it wasn't like they were running around with pasties either. They were covered up. But I just thought that basically the reason I found it cringy is because basically the little girls were acting the way that they were acting because they wanted to get likes on, they wanted to get likes on Instagram. They said this, they wanted to be like Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. So it was more cringy because these little girls were buying into what society was telling them.
Yeah.
And then little boys, like when they started acting that way, the little boys treated them differently. So people were out. So I, you know, people were like, it's porn. I heard da 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 da. And it's like, no, unless you watched it, you can't, if you don't watch it, you can't argue about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. So like, you know, the people that were, you know, like there were people that were outraged about Chris Evans, but I'm like, did you see it? No, then why are you mad?
Were they people were outraged about well, like I said, it's hard to find. You'll be they must have searched around for 20 minutes and they'll be like, I'm outraged.
Well, people have been out, you know, please, people these days get outraged about anything.
I feel like people don't really get outraged about it. They just like to bitch online. Like I call them nontroversies. Yeah. Like, the Chris Evans thing is an absolute non-troversy. It's like, you know, it was written about in the news, and people are like, oh, that sounds nasty that he would share that. And so then they act like they're angry about it, but it's like they're not, their day isn't revolving around their anger over Chris Evans' penis picture.
Well, yeah. But yeah, I guess.
I'm just angry because I missed it.
It's probably still up there.
I'll send you the screenshot. The screenshot of it is not that impressive. It's not that the penis isn't that impressive. It's that it's like a small thumbnail, and the photo itself isn't terribly well taken. Yeah,
so you had to like squint.
Well, it's like
so like take the fun out of it because you had to like kind of work.
Yeah.
To see it.
Yeah.
It's got to work.
That's no fun.
Yeah, no, you're not looking for a job.
I mean, I think what people really wanted is like if they're going to see a Chris Evans penis shot, they want like him with the Captain America logo on, but like his thing just hanging out.
I agree.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Yeah, they could make a sequel of the Hulk's,
At least Thor. I would like Thor's. I don't want a green Hulk penis. I want Thor's big hammer.
Well, actually, you know what? I have a confession to make. I thought that the Hulk in Endgame was actually kind of cute.
Oh, yeah? You're interested in Hulks. Now, I wonder what
when the Hulk, because the Hulk had evolved.
Oh, he was sort of like somewhere between Bruce Banner and Angry Hulk. Yeah. He was like kind of nerdy Hulk in like glasses.
Yeah. I thought that Hulk was cute.
That's still a little I'm not sure what the word is, but I'm not going to judge you.
And he was fun. Well, he was cute. He was fun.
That was his personality, yeah.
He was nice.
Yeah. Same personality goes a long way.
He was like Clark Kent nerdy. He wasn't like nerdy nerdy.
Okay.
So what else did you...
I had Aunt Viv, too. I don't know much about this, but...
Like,
well, okay, Aunt Viv on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air... I guess she was on it. The actress was played Aunt Viv for about 3 years, and she left the show and was replaced. Another actress replaced Aunt Viv and played Aunt Viv. So, but then this woman, the original Aunt Viv, went off and kind of badmouthed the show. She put out a self-published book where she kind of tried to badmouth Will Smith as much as she could, but there wasn't really a lot of bad things to say. It's kind of sad her book was self-published. But anyway, now on HBO Max, they're doing a reunion of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and they got Aunt Viv back. She did...
Wow.
There was a shot of her doing a one-on-one interview like just a couple weeks ago with Will Smith for this HBO Max show. Yeah.
Did they like hug it out?
I didn't see them hugging, but she had a big smile on her face, and everybody seemed happy.
Because that's kind of like an infamous Hollywood feud. Mm-hmm. That Hollywood feud's been going on for like 30 years.
I want
right?
that reunion to be as awkward as the Suzanne Somers and Joyce DeWitt Three's Company reunion.
Yes, I remember that.
Have you ever seen that, Kurt? Oh,
no.
It's It was for like Suzanne Summers had, I don't know, she might still have like a YouTube show. And so she had Joyce DeWitt on, like, and so if, for those that don't know the history, Three's Company, Suzanne Summers left after a few seasons in a big contract dispute. And as a result, she and Joyce DeWitt stopped talking. And it's been very, very bitter over the years. And they reunited. And it was the most awkward hugging and, like, fawning over each other. And we can't believe it's taken us this long. But it was weird.
And then part of it, too, was their careers took different trajectories and went different ways. Yeah. Like, it was all that wrapped up in it, I'm sure.
Yeah. So this was on a YouTube show?
Yeah, I'll try and find the link and send it to you.
But yeah, okay. it went viral. Like, it went viral.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I assume Suzanne Summers' career has been much more successful because she was on Step by Step and she's the sheriff.
Yes.
And
Thigh Masters.
Yeah. Well, what's it called? Oh, the Thigh Masters.
She probably made a lot of money off that thing. Yeah.
She says that's how she made most of her money was from the Thigh Master.
For sure. Okay, exercise. Sorry, I got exercise equipment and makeup, and then I'll be.
Well, any kind of products. I mean, that like Gwyneth makes way more money off of Goop than she ever did with her acting career.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that a website?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lifestyle website, and they sell stuff, though.
And a TV show, too. It's on a show.
That's recent.
And what's it? Kate Hudson with Fabletics. She has that. It's basically like a sort of like Lululemon type like workout clothes, and she makes a ton of money from that.
George Foreman, the George Foreman Grill.
Yeah.
He's made millions and millions off of the George Foreman Grill.
Kurt is so angry he knocked over his microphone. He's
well, there's a little fly.
You know what? What I'm going to come up with a Kurt Fitzpatrick microphone stand.
Please.
To solve this dilemma.
But I need a piece of that.
Yeah, it's you know. So that's the thing, Kurt. You've got to diversify.
Well, that's what I'm learning. George Clooney had like a liquor, like a vodka company.
Yeah, tequila.
Like that.
It's tequila.
He sold it. Tequila. He sold it, and like Forbes magazine said he was the highest paid actor of the year. It's like, well, that's not to make money off acting.
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't even in a movie that year.
Yeah, it's especially, you know, especially these days, you got to do something.
Well, yeah, there was this story a year or two ago about Sofia Vergara from Modern Family and how she was the highest earning actress on television. It wasn't because she was making an obscene amount of money on Modern Family, although she was making a lot because it's a big hit show. It's because she endorses a lot of products.
Right. Because she does like Head and Shoulders.
And some sort of makeup as well, yeah.
For anyone following the narrative, I killed the fly, those little flies.
Okay.
So that's not going to be a problem. All right.
Peter's going to be mad at you.
We're going to get some letters.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
So shall we begin?
I think we shall.
Yes.
I'm curious to get your take on this movie.
Well, you'll be getting it.
No, we're going to hold back our opinions on the movie that we're reviewing.
Yeah, I hold back on the podcast, and then I tell my personal friends afterwards what I really think of this.
Yeah.
So the movie that we're talking about is Deranged Granny.
From Lifetime,
starring four times.
Wendy Malick. I was
going
to... Shocked.
Yeah, oh, let Kurt introduce her properly.
Four times Cable Ace Award winning Petsitarian. I thought I got this right. Petsitarian?
Pescatarian.
She's a pescatarian. Wendy Malick. Because I was criticized on the show once because I still thought the Cable Ace Awards was still going on. But when it was going on, she won four times.
From
for the
that,
show.
What was that show
Dream
on HBO?
On.
Dream On.
Used to be on HBO. It was pre-Sopranos HBO, and they used to show shows like Dream On.
Yeah. Well, and then the creators of that show went on to create a little show called Friends.
Oh. So there you go.
Yeah.
So, that's yes. Perfect. And I got to say, she was not bad.
Oh, she was great in this.
And this is one of those movies that actually, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but this was one of these movies that it was bonker-ish. It was bonkers-ish. It wasn't like full-on bonkers. but I didn't mind that it wasn't so crazy. Like, it was just crazy enough.
On one hand, I didn't mind it. On the other hand, I think it would have been way more enjoyable if it were only because they had such a gifted comedic actress in Wendy in the lead role that she could have, you know, that there were moments in the movie where they kind of let her just chew the scenery just for the heck of it. And it was fun to watch. And I feel like if they would have just made it zanier in its absurdity, she would have had fun with it.
Like, she needs to be in a wrong movie.
Right.
Vivica needs to, like, make her part of the wrong ensemble.
Yeah.
Well, her character was a one-issue candidate. It was poison. That's what...
No, not true. Not true.
Well, she...
At the end of the movie, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Take that out. If you take that out, though.
Yeah. Poison. So we start off. We're at the hospital. And we hear screaming. And a woman is in labor. She's giving birth. Her husband's there coaching her. They're getting ready. And then we cut to a pair of leopard skin shoes walking through a parking lot. And I wrote, uh-oh, here she comes. Because they just showed the shoes. It's like, oh, buckle up, people. We're starting. And so, so it was Wendy Malick. And... So she goes into the hospital and she walks into the room and the woman in labor literally was like in the middle of her labor and was like, oh shit, like, oh shit, she's here. And so we find out from her, so the husband was her son. And so we find out that the woman went to the hospital to have her baby and they didn't even tell her that they were going. And so she shows up. The son gets rid of her by saying, Mom, why don't you get us some food or something? And the daughter is like, I want her gone. I don't want her here. And while she's telling her husband that, she starts to scream. And we find out that, you know, she's in major pain and something happened. She started hemorrhaging and the baby didn't make it.
How does she know they were in the hospital? Does she have one of those police CB radios that, like, reporters use, and she heard it over the wire, or how did she find out they were there?
Well, okay, her snooping game was strong.
Yeah, there's some good snooping in this.
Oh,
movie.
Oh yeah, I imagine she was probably staking out the house and like knew just had to have known.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She shamed whatever name they chose for the baby.
That's right, because they were going to name the baby Nicholas.
And she wanted the name Jason, which actually is a funny detail that comes up later in the movie.
Yeah. So
I don't know if it's funny, but it's mentioned later, yeah.
Yeah, because they were like, Nicholas, and she's like, Nicholas, they're going to call him Nick. And like, she hated that.
Yeah.
So then the doctor comes out, tells Ethan, who was the son, and Barbara, who was Wendy Malick, that, you know, the baby didn't make it. And Barbara asks to actually see the baby, and the doctor is kind of like, okay. And so she goes in, and she's cradling the baby's
corpse. Like, would they allow that? I don't know if they even think they would let a mom hold the dead baby, would they?
I think I heard of somebody who did do that.
Like I think with the mom, I think they let the mom and the dad go in.
Yeah, I think the parents, yeah. I don't know if they would just leave the grandmother alone in the room with the baby.
Yeah, and she wasn't in like that. She was in like the little like birthing lounge room too, because it was like very like casual. And like the doctor's on the phone outside the window, and whatever he's talking about, he's like laughing, and Wendy Malick is not happy about it.
Right? No, I wouldn't be happy either.
And okay, the baby was fully clothed too.
Well, I think it was just like wrapped in a blanket. Like you don't see the baby. Did it?
Well,
she probably put it on there because remember she knitted in the movie.
Yeah, they maybe had a little hat.
She probably like dressed that baby up for that moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was not happy. She was not happy about the doctor laughing and having a gossipy conversation in the hall.
Yeah.
No, I guess not. It's kind of rude.
So then we see the doctor. He's going to his car, and my first thought was, "Ooh, he's gonna die."
Same.
But he gets to the car, and his front windshield, and it's a very expensive car too.
Yeah.
And his front windshield is bashed in, and there's murderer written.
Was it bashed or was murder just written?
I don't think it was bashed in. It was just murder was written.
But
it was,
in
there
was, lipstick.
There was a crack, though.
Was there a crack? Because I thought it was weird. I thought it was weird that he was calling. Like it was like he had to get the car towed away because somebody wrote something on with lipstick.
Probably calling security.
Security? Okay.
Yeah, hospital sense. Security. Like, hey, do you have like any idea who did this? Because this is creepy and kind of threatening to me.
That would bother me.
This is the part that I love. So as he's looking at his car, we see her walking by. In slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like this too.
In slow motion with her big sunglasses on and like just this badass walk by the car.
And that's kind of what it was that the it was in lipstick. And then they you know, the name of the movie, Deranged Granny, appears on screen in a lipstick font. And I'm like, oh, they're going to have fun with her being nuts. Right. And they didn't so much. I kind of wish they had.
Well, did you guys notice that whoever the director was definitely was trying out their cinematography skills?
Oh, yeah. There are definitely some moments.
We've never looked up the directors of these movies. That's something we'll have to do.
Because
I wonder how often they use the same directors.
Good point. I like that you, in the past, you have looked up the people that have been thanked in the credits, but we've never bothered to look up the director.
No, I'm working my way back.
So then we cut to 3 years later. So this was the cold open. So as a cold open, it was a very good cold open.
Yeah.
Because then it's 3 years later. Mm-hmm. And so we see these kids. Their mom's making them breakfast. You know, they're just basically your regular asshole and unruly kids.
But like kids and a mom we haven't met yet in the movie.
And so then we see Ethan, and he's talking to one of his coworkers, and his coworker is kind of like, hey, you know, Betty in accounting or whatever, she wants me to slip you her number. So he's like trying to set him up.
Yeah, and so at that point we learn that, oh, I guess Ethan isn't with Lucy anymore.
Right. And
I thought maybe Lucy died. I wasn't sure. Especially because the grandmother calls and she says she was at the cemetery. I was like, oh.
So then we see her, we see Barbara, and she's looking through a photo album. And then all of a sudden, we start seeing the pictures of whatever woman is next to Ethan scratched out.
Yeah, that's Lucy.
Or Lucy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, Lucy.
It's pictures of Ethan and his now ex-wife, and Barbara scratched her on all the photos.
Right.
I like that Barbara kept the photos.
Yeah.
She kept an entire album of someone whose face she scratched out.
She could have just cut it out. Sometimes it's hard to get pictures out of those albums if they're like sticky paper, so I guess it was easy just to scratch.
So then we see the mom with the two kids. We see her and she's at work. We find out her name is Kendall. So Kendall's at work, and then Ethan shows up for like a business meeting. And so, but then he walks in and instantly they were smitten.
Oh, yeah. They have a connection, but he does not have game.
No.
He had no game whatsoever.
No, none. And so.
Well, he closes the deal pretty quick.
I feel like she's the one that made the deal, though.
Yeah.
Because she basically invites him, like, because her kids come in and, like, cock block him.
Right.
Right, as they're, like, having their connection.
Her kids and her hot ex-husband.
Yeah.
I thought her ex-husband was hot.
He was kind of hot.
Calvin.
Calvin, and her name is Kendall?
Yeah. Yep.
Kendall?
Yeah.
For some reason, those names confuse me, but they're not really that similar. Calvin, Kendall. Kendall, Calvin.
So Calvin, yeah, Calvin runs in, and her kids are assholes, by the way.
Yeah.
They totally are.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so yeah, she tells, because before the kids came in, they were kind of, her and Ethan were kind of like, hey, you know, why don't we discuss this deal over some drinks? And then the kids come in, cock block her. Then she's like, oh, well, it's pizza night. And Ethan, she's like, you know, it's pizza night. You want to come? But she's totally kidding. And Ethan's like, yeah, I'll come. And so
creepy is that for your first date with someone to be like with them and their kids?
Right.
Is that creepy?
No. No, not creepy. Just kind of awkward and clunky.
It's creepy, but then also, I see all of my friends who are single, who have kids, they make an effort not to introduce the kids to a guy or a woman right away.
Yeah.
Like my friends who have kids wait months and months.
Yeah, because you don't want the kids to get attached if it doesn't work out.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it's, yeah. So, I just thought it'd be awkward. And I thought they were going to go to like a pizza place or at least order pizza. But then they're at the house making a pizza from scratch. I was like, what kids have the patience to wait around for that? Just order a pizza.
And then they not only make pizza, they turn this into like a montage.
Yeah. I was like, where are the kids?
And
well, they turned it. It was a montage of Ethan and Kendall. And it was like, it was more syrupy than a Hallmark movie. Like, it was the cheesiest, look how in love they're becoming montage.
Yeah, they're like romantically. That might be a cool thing to do, like, on a date, I guess, make a pizza together. And then she's, like, luring him into the room. It's like, where are the kids? I imagine the kids, realistically, the kids would be like, are we eating soon? When are we eating? I'm hungry.
Right.
Well, no, I think that was passage of time. It because the montage wasn't just of the pizza. It was, like, of other moments of them, like, their courtship, essentially.
Oh, I thought that was all one.
No. Because, like, it showed, like, they were eating popcorn. They were.
Oh, you know, no. Oh,
Watching movies. They were watching movies. They were?
Yeah.
This again. Well, I get confused. I thought that was all one night that was happening. No, because I thought they made the pizza, and then after the pizza, then he's with the kids watching popcorn. It was a full evening.
No. It was more than one day.
All right.
Okay. And so then so then Ethan and Kendall are talking, and then we find out that Kendall's parents are dead.
I see dead people.
Oh, we also learned earlier in the movie that Ethan's dad had died, too.
I see dead people.
Which I'm sure were under mysterious circumstances.
I think I know the cause of death. Is Kendall the name of the character on Succession also? Is that a guy's name?
I don't know. It might be a guy's. It might be a unisex name, but I traditionally know it as a woman's name.
Because I knew a guy named Kendall when I was in college.
I'm looking up. Yeah, I think that's the name of. I look it up. That's the name of Jeremy Strong's character on Succession. I think it's Jeremy Strong, right?
So then we also find out at this point that Ethan is estranged from his mom.
Yeah,
it is Kendall. Okay, good. All right.
Ethan's estranged from his mom.
Yes.
Kendall is like, you should call your mother. Now, here's the deal. When you are dating someone and they're not speaking to their parents, 99.9% of the time, they have a very good reason not to be speaking to their parents.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even have his mother's phone number, which...
That's not true. No, he had it because when he was at the office, he blocked a call from his mom.
Oh, that's right. But he didn't have. Oh, it didn't say mom. It said Barbara.
Yeah, her actual.
And so then she tried to shame him because she's like, "You have your mother's. You have Barbara under the phone. You don't have mom." So then he starts telling Kendall the story about how he and Lucy grew apart, And then Barbara was trying to pressure them into having a kid, whether it was adopting a kid or having another kid. Like, Barbara really put so much pressure on them that it basically just wrecked their marriage.
Yeah.
And like I wrote again, if your spouse is not talking to their parents, it is for a very good reason.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So then Ethan proposes, she accepts, and then I wrote that, like, their shots of the neighborhood reminded me of the opening of that TV show Weeds.
Well, because I'm pretty sure this was in the same, like, Weeds, I think they filmed up in Santa Clarita, which is north of L.A., and this looked Santa Clarita, Valencia-ish area.
But there were a lot of, like, aerial shots.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I've got to practice my cinematography.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to remember that. Oh, yeah, for my reel. This would look great on my reel.
Right.
Then I can get a real movie.
That, what,
Weeds reminds me of I was trying to think of the theme song. Little boxes made of something. Little boxes made of da-da-da. Yeah, anyway, I used to watch that show.
Yeah, after Ethan proposed and they hugged. They didn't kiss. Like, when she said yes, it was like, and it was like the most awkward hug. Like, they had no chemistry whatsoever.
Nah. Because for a second I was like, is this a Hallmark movie?
Even a Hallmark movie, the hug would have looked more genuine.
Right. So then...
It was almost like this, and this wasn't the case with this movie, but it's almost like this is the first movie to go into production post new COVID onset rules, and like the actors weren't sure, like, are we allowed to touch each other? Like, right. I mean, no one's stopping us, so we're doing it, but it feels weird. It looked like that.
Director's like, don't kiss her. Don't kiss. Well,
they could do that thing that soap opera's going to do, where they're going to have people with mannequins.
Oh, The Bold and the Beautiful. Yeah. They've already started doing that, because I watched that show.
Have you seen it? People with mannequins.
They did a thing on Entertainment Tonight and showed them. And basically, what they do is, because they show Denise Richards talking to a mannequin, and then they go back and like. CGI the person.
Wait, wasn't just mannequins, wasn't it actual sex dolls?
Blow up dolls too.
Yeah, okay. Because we talked about it on the show.
They showed she was in a living room set, and so she was talking to a mannequin.
Okay.
And then that show, they also basically, for the love scenes, they have their real life spouses come in.
Yeah.
Did she bring in her ex spouse? Because I'd be more comfortable being with a love doll than Charlie Sheen.
She's married again.
She's in a high risk situation.
She's married again, Denise Richards. Okay. So then we find out that Barbara is a realtor. Mm-hmm.
Did you say she's a real turd?
A realtor.
A realtor. Oh, a realtor.
A realtor.
You said she's a real turd.
Huh. And Kendall goes, basically, she goes snooping. Mm-hmm. So then the next scene, the doorbell rings, Ethan answers the door, and it's his mother. And this Ethan gets this look on his face like, oh, shit. Oh, so shit. Then the kids come down. The kids are being assholes again, and they're like, who's this? Barbara introduces herself as I'm your grandmother, and they're like, we already have a grandmother.
Yeah, they say it twice. They really drive the point home.
Yeah.
Where do you have a grandmother? You can haul ass out of here.
But then
if she dies, we might call you back.
Right. Then Barbara's like, well, I've got cookies.
Oh, in that case.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's always bribing people with these brownies and cookies.
Yeah.
And then a very important bit of information was given, because then the little girl goes, do these cookies have peanuts? Because Bobby's allergic to peanuts.
Yep.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'll file that away.
Yes.
That's good to know. I'll have to pick up some peanuts from Trader Joe's on the way home.
So then Barbara apologizes to Ethan. They make peace with each other. Barbara invites them over for dinner. Like, they get a call. Barbara invites them over for dinner, but they can't go because Calvin
Calvin, no, they can go. There were two. There were two things. She invited him over for dinner. They said yes. And Calvin's mom is in town, so they're all going to have a barbecue at the house that weekend.
Right. And then so she, and they invite Barbara to come to the barbecue.
Yeah.
And then when they call to invite Barbara to the barbecue, Barbara is cradling like the dead baby's blanket.
Yeah. The one that she was holding the baby in earlier.
Yeah. Cuz she puts it in a box.
Yeah.
And then so it's funny. So then they're at the barbecue. The kids are kind of warming up to Barbara, but then their real grandmother comes over and they're happy to see their real grandmother, and Barbara's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's rattled by the fact that Calvin and his mom are there.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then Calvin actually, you know, they were divorced, but they got along, and Calvin actually seemed like a nice guy. He's cute.
Yeah.
But he seemed decent.
He seemed like a nice guy. What's weird is in the first scene that we meet him when he shows up at the office with the kids, Kendall was annoyed because he showed up early unannounced. So it's like, oh, he's going to be like an asshole deadbeat dad. And then the rest of the movie, they're constantly telling us what a great daddy is.
Yeah. And even beginning, he was even pretty he's pretty easygoing for the most part. Up until she started fucking with him.
Right.
So then I wrote here once again, Calvin's hot. But then, so the director is working on a cinematography again because we get a big close up and a slow mo close up of the brownie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a shot from above shooting down at the plate.
Mise-en-scene.
And then into the shot reaches a hand sprinkling something on the brownies.
Yes, in slow motion.
Oh, it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then we see the kids. They're eating the brownies, and then all of a sudden, Bobby starts to go into anaphylactic shock in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And Barbara just happens to be there to save the day.
Yes. She sprinkled nuts on the brownies. I wonder if she had some of the other things up her sleeve, like just in case the nuts didn't come in handy. She had like some other kind of idea. Did she like razor blades to put into the apples?
Oh, probably. I just love that she brought nuts and an EpiPen.
Yeah. Right. I just have to have an EpiPen.
I just happen to have one, just in case. You never know. So then the next scene, the other grandma is like apologizing profusely, and Kendall's just not having it. Yeah, Kendall's just like, yeah, just get out.
Yeah.
And then now she's indebted to Barbara. Mm-hmm. And then there was more cinematography because there was like a sunrise.
Sunrise, sunset.
Well, also, before the sunrise, when Kendall was thankful for Barbara, she tells her, "You're welcome anytime."
Right.
She's going to regret that.
But I
guess this is going to happen again.
6 a.m. Because, Barbara comes over. It's very early. They're still sleeping. Barbara not only rings the doorbell, she's like, ding, 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 like just like leaning on the doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
Like in my house, I'm sorry, but Barbara would have been cussed out a little.
Well, right now the scones are fresh.
Yes, she's got fresh scones.
If you wait, they're going to go stale.
And then and then she's like, well, where are the kids? And Kendall's like, well, they're with their father. And then Barbara's like, and gives her a look.
Oh, she's totally shaming her for sharing custody of her children with the kid's dad.
Yeah. and then not only did she shade her, Barbara's like, I need a schedule that their custody schedule. I need one.
Right. And she doesn't go along with this. That's Kendall. She's like, well, we'll let you know, okay?
Okay, so this is where people always fuck up, okay? So, gentlemen, when your mother starts acting weird like that, and your girlfriend starts noticing that your mother is acting weird, don't defend your mother and say she's just excited, especially since you just went for, you just started speaking to her again after like 3 years.
Yeah, I thought that I thought that was unrealistic for this movie because the entire premise of it is mom was pushing so hard to become a grandmother that she drove me and my wife apart. So now I'm speaking to my mom again and she's doing the same behavior.
Right. Right.
He's doing, yeah. Ethan was like, same mistake again.
You know, Ethan was like a pansy Paul Rudd.
Ouch. Yeah, it kind of was. Yeah.
Kind of was. I think Paul Rudd's really cute too.
Oh, I do too. Ethan was cute, but he was
cute.
Such a pussy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And so yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, it's like, dude, you haven't spoken to your mom in 3 years. You should not be backing her up when she's acting crazy.
Right. Like, in fact, you should be suspicious of her before Kendall is.
Right, exactly.
Kendall should be like, oh, honey, okay. You're just, like, you're being oversensitive. Like, she just, you know, she wants to get to know me and the kids.
Because this is the part where you're supposed to, like, okay, mom, you're acting up again. Cut it out. We don't want a repeat of last time.
Yeah.
Right.
So then we find out that Ethan was a very sickly child, which I suspect, what's that syndrome called?
I wrote it down. It's called, hold on, it's another page. All right, it's called factitious disorder imposed on another, FDIA, or it's called Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
Yeah. So
it's when like a parent makes a kid sick and it's like so they can get sympathy.
Yeah. Cause he was like, I was always sick. And so she's just very protective. And then, Kendall's complaining cause she needed to get work done and the kids were bugging her. And then Ethan's like, well, why don't you just take them to my mother's house? And which I thought was weird, you know, but even the kids didn't want to go. The kids didn't like her. The kids were like, the little girl's like, I don't even like her.
Yeah.
She tried to poison us.
So they're at lunch. So they're having lunch in the kitchen. The little boy's chowing down, which we find out there's a reason why later. So little boy's chowing down. Girl's not eating. Now, this is where I did like Barbara, because she bribed them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good bribe. Because she's like, okay, so if you don't eat your lunch, you're not going to get your surprise. And so then the kids eat the lunch, and the surprise was they go into this room, and this room had, like, everything. Like, it was like a kid's dream, this room. And then you saw the daughter kind of smile like she was going to like it. And then she remembered, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm 13. I've got to be pissed off.
Yeah. I did think it was weird, though, that this room was it was decked out with all this, like, kid stuff. But they're only, like, one bed for the two kids. Yeah. And it's like, if I were a 13-year-old kid, I would not want to share a bed with my little brother.
No.
No, I thought the room was for Bobby. And then the next gift was for the little girl, laptop.
Well, yeah, that was, yeah, it was an iPad. She gave her an iPad because, yeah, the little girl was like, whatever. Yeah. And then she's like, well, I've got something for you too, and whips out an iPad. And so then Barbara did something which I'm learning is a Lifetime villain trope, because one of the things that was happening was Kendall was taking the girl's phone away because the girl was, she felt that her daughter was on the phone too much.
Mm-hmm.
So when Barbara gives, and Barbara knew about this, so Barbara gives her the iPad and Barbara's like, and you can use this like a phone. And so then Barbara was, oh, and then Kendall, the little kid was like, well, if my mom finds out about this, my mom's going to take this away just like she did my phone. And then Barbara's like, well, why don't we make this our secret?
Yeah.
Which is a villain, which is a lifetime villain.
And not to get too dark, but that's what predators do. That, you know, if you've got somebody that's a pedophile, that's how they do things. The kids are like, oh, this will be our secret. You can't tell mommy and daddy.
And then she did some psychologic jujitsu on her, because then she made the girl then think that it was her idea to keep it a secret.
The little girl says we're not supposed to keep secrets in our family. So Barbara says, well, I'll just take it back then.
Right. And she's like, no, it'll be a secret.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if you say so.
So then Barbara then is talking to Kendall, and Barbara's like, guess what? To celebrate your proposal, I bought you two tickets to Hawaii. And Kendall's like, oh my God, that's so great. And then we find out that the tickets are for next week. And Barbara was like, I've already checked your schedules, and I know you're free. So then, Barbara is at home, and Barbara is pissed because Kendall's kind of like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Well, because Kendall... Or Barbara's like, oh, and I'll watch the kids. And Kendall's like, oh, well, no, they're supposed to be with their dad next week. Calvin's got him.
Ooh.
And so
right.
She's pissed.
And Barbara's like trying to like find every which way to make it happen where she could have the kids. And Kendall's like, no, it's like he's her dad. Like it's his week anyway. And Kendall has a meltdown in the kids' room at her house.
Yeah.
Barbara does, yeah.
I mean, Barbara does, rather.
Yeah. So then
I'll reschedule the trip for when you have the kids.
So then Barbara like just shows up at the house before they're leaving for Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Then Calvin shows up to pick up the kids. And then, you know, first of all, Barbara's really shady and like, that man could use a shave and a shower.
I don't think he needed a shower. I don't think he didn't need either, but he didn't seem like he was dirty. Maybe he smelled.
No. Well, sometimes that's not a bad thing.
If he smells
a little anyway. So then Calvin just mentions, hey, we're gonna go, I'm gonna take you kids to go get burgers at this food truck. And so Barbara heard him say this to the kids, so they're at the food truck, and then Barbara shows up at the food truck. Mm-hmm. And Barbara's like, oh, hearing you guys talk about getting burgers made me crave a burger. And then, of course, you know, Calvin invites her to join them. And then she accidentally, on purpose, spills her drink all over Calvin. So then Calvin runs to go find a bathroom to clean up. And then, meanwhile, she tells the little kids, hey, why don't you go get some napkins so we can clean up this mess? And while the kids are gone, then Barbara whips out her big bottle of poison. That was a big bottle, too.
I don't think this is poison. This is probably like castor oil or something.
Whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't poison.
It made him puke,
yes.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she really does focus on her strengths because she's good at mixing ingredients together.
Yeah.
So she bakes and she cooks and she poisons. And, you know, that's what she's good at.
So then, you know, the kids come back with the napkins. He comes back from the bathroom. She's apologetic. He's like, oh, whatever. No big deal. Then they're talking. And, he takes a swig out of his soda. And then all of a sudden, he's like, gotta go, I'll be right back, and then goes and starts puking.
Yeah, it was like immediate.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and then he goes and starts puking again. He comes back and he gets ready to puke again, but he's like, hey, Barbara, can you take care of the kids I'm really sick.
Well, yeah, she plants the seed that it like might be a virus or something going around.
And he's so rude, he didn't even run away from the truck. He just goes and starts puking in front of the lunch truck.
In front of all the people eating.
Yeah.
Well, I think Barbara's rude because Barbara's like, yeah, I'll take the kids. And so, like, while he's like writhing in pain and puking, she just pieces out, takes the kids and leave. Like, doesn't even like check on him and be like, hey, Calvin, are you okay? Like, for shits and giggles, at least.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love it because they showed him puking and everyone's just still eating. Like, whatever.
he definitely needs a shower now.
So then they're having lunch, the kids and Barbara.
They're at Barbara's house and they're eating mac and cheese. Didn't they just eat a burger?
I don't think they finished though.
Oh. Yeah, because Barbara did kind of just zoom out of there real quick.
Yeah,
I don't think that they finished their lunch.
Okay. Mac and cheese is a heavy food, though.
Yeah. And so then Barbara starts
She disses their mom because they're like, this mac and cheese is different. Well, that's because it's not processed. This is actually homemade. Yeah.
This is homemade.
Yeah. Didn't make it out of a box. So, with a
like,
mix.
Not only did they not finish their lunch, Barbara went home. She's like, I'm going to make homemade mac and cheese. Just wait here.
Right.
These kids have to be patient. But, you know, previously a pizza was being made for them from scratch. Yeah.
So then Barbara starts planting seeds. Barbara's like, well, you know, I actually bought the Hawaiian trip for all of you, but then your parents decided that they didn't want you to go. Man. And so then the kids are like, okay, so our parents basically hate us. So then Kendall calls, and the kids don't want to talk to her. And so then the next day, Barbara's taking Bobby to school. She drops him off, and as he's walking into the school, this bully comes and, like, steals his lunch. And so that's – so we find out that's why Bobby's so hungry all the time. So then – was it lunchtime or was it after school? Barbara shows up with a sandwich.
It was lunchtime.
It was, like, recess.
Yeah, it was because it's a California school, so they're, like, eating and doing recess outside, yeah.
So it's recess. Barbara shows up with a sandwich, gives Bobby a sandwich. He's starving. And then this part I actually kind of like.
Oh, I did too.
Because Barbara then goes, the bully's playing football, and Barbara goes up to the bully and grabs him. He's like, listen, you little piggy. I always call him a little piggy.
Well, he calls her an old cow.
Yeah.
He goes, whoa, get away, you old cow. She's like, shut up. And ageism.
Then she threatens him.
Yeah, she threatens the bully. She grabs him. Well, first of all, this kid is like 7, 8. Like, he's a little kid. And she grabs him by the arm and she threatens him. And she threatens to poison him.
There you go.
Well, that's her thing.
That's what Kurt said. She knows her strength.
She does. Aren't there any teachers monitoring the recess? Or they just let the kids out like a bunch of wild?
Right?
It's like what's that called? Lord of the Flies during recess.
Budget cuts, dude. Budget cuts.
And they were in the front of the school. They weren't even on the playground. They were like in the front area of the school.
Right, it's a busy street.
Yeah. So then.
Hope you have a taste of poison.
So then Ethan and Kendall come back. The kids are totally giving them attitude. Like the kids hate them. And
I like those shots of Hawaii too. Boy, makes you miss Hawaii. It was like them sitting by a pool, right?
And he's wearing like a floral shirt.
Yeah. They didn't look like they're at Hawaii anyway.
They were very overdressed for Hawaii. Aren't you guys hot? It's Hawaii. So then Barbara, Kendall gets pissed at Barbara because Barbara goes to take the kids Kendall goes to take the kids and Barbara's like, well, I made brownies. And Kendall's like, you knew I was coming. And they get into like a little tiff. And
her apron was very clean, by the way.
Yeah.
Barbara had this yellow apron, didn't have a spot on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So then Kendall, I get, oh, yeah, Kendall's talking about her dead parents again. Then Barbara comes over. Oh, so then next day, Ethan, like, Barbara comes over. I guess Kendall's at work. Ethan answers the door. Barbara says she wants to take the kids to see these trains. Mm-hmm. Ethan was like, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. And so she takes the kids, and he, I guess, forgot that Calvin was supposed to take the kids. So, which, honest, you know, honest mistake.
Yeah.
And so the thing is like, Calvin was like, okay, whatever, I'll just go get them. Like, it's like, it was no, like, Calvin wasn't pissed at all.
No.
So Calvin's like, okay, yeah, I'll just go get him. And then Ethan sends his mom a message like, you know, okay, he's coming to get the kids. Don't flip out. Which my thinking was, if I knew that my mom was going to flip out like that, I would have gone with Calvin to get the kids.
Oh, that's a good idea.
If I thought my mom would flip out if for something like that at all, I wouldn't have let the kids go with her to begin with.
True.
Because it shows that he's aware that she is unstable, and he still let the kids go with her anyway.
True. Or, yeah, exactly. Or I would have been like, well, mom, yeah. Or, mom, yeah, I'll go with you guys to the train thing.
Yeah.
And hang out. We can make a day of it.
Pansy, Paul, Rudd.
Yeah. So then Calvin goes to get the kids, and she's like, no, you're not taking the kids. And Calvin's like, what's your fucking problem? They're my kids. And so then she throws out, like, she just goes for the big guns. And she's like, mm-hmm. Well, I have tickets for the Harry Potter play. Which I know me as an adult would be like, oh, sorry, Dad. Sorry, Calvin. But, and then Calvin lets it slip, like, it's not going to matter anyway. But then he doesn't explain himself.
Well, he mentions something about Boston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he drags the kid away. Drags the kids away. And so then, and I wrote here, as he's dragging the kids away, oh, well, nice knowing you, Calvin. Bye.
So last then, time, he'll be visiting Railroad Park.
So then
the Railroad Park was kind of a weird place too. Like, what was that about?
Was that in Griffith Park?
Yeah, that's if it's what I think it is. In Griffith Park here in LA, there's the Gene Autry Travel Museum, and it had and there's like a trains and stuff that run there for the kids.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if they lived in Valencia and he had to go to Griffith Park to get the kids, he really was easygoing because, like, no traffic that's, like, half an hour away.
Yeah, easily a half an hour. And the thing is with that park, there's always traffic there.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, because it's right where the 5 and the 134 meet.
Yeah, like near Magic Mountain.
Well, they would be up near Magic Mountain, but the Griffith Park is down in L.A.,
and it's funny, Kirk, because whenever I drive to Fresno, that's the route to Fresno. And okay. So, yeah, that's a bitch of a drive. Yeah.
I used to work up there every day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a commute.
Oh, it sucked. Coming from West Hollywood, in no traffic, it would take 45 minutes from West Hollywood.
Oh, so then... So then Barbara's yelling, you know, Barbara's telling Ethan what Calvin did, and Calvin yelled at her, and Ethan's like, well, they're his kids. And we find out Calvin got a job in Boston, and a very good job in Boston. Mm-hmm. So he's going to take it. And so he wants to have the kids in Boston for the summer because it turns out he's from Boston.
Yeah.
So he wants to take the kids for the summer. Kendall's like, fine, you know, he's their dad, so I'm totally fine with that. And then Barbara just starts going apeshit.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wrote, Barbara goes home and grunts. Just like, yeah.
Throws a tantrum.
Yeah.
And then she's like, starts baking.
Uh-uh.
And then she's baking, she's tasting it.
And this was another, like, something for the real scene, because it was, like, a really cool shot from far away, just showing her meticulously making seemingly an apple pie, which is what it was. And then, like, close-ups of, like, the ingredients being poured, and it was ridiculous.
And she, like, tastes it several times to make sure it's just right. And then she goes and grabs her bottle of poison.
Yeah. You know, she's getting all the ingredients, and then the next ingredient is under the sink. So you know, like, oh, this isn't going to go well.
It's either going to be cleanser. A little cleanser.
So this next part, okay, Calvin's dumb.
She invites him over to discuss boundaries.
Because she invites him over. And at this point, he knows she's crazy because she just acted out.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't you either A, not go over there, or B, call Kendall and say, hey, your future mother-in-law just called me and invited me over. Do you think that's a good idea if I go? Because that's pretty much crossing the line at that point.
Well, that's why he was coming over, to discuss boundaries. Maybe when he came over, he could have asked her.
But then he was also on his way to the airport, which I'm like, okay, really? You're going to stop on your way to the airport? Whatever. Anyway.
Well, I mean, like, she was offering an olive branch. I didn't think that was super weird. I mean, everything about Barbara was weird, but I didn't think that was a super weird in the moment, because she was making it seem like, here's an olive branch.
Okay. So he goes over there, they're talking, and then she's like, would you like some of my crowd pleasing apple pie? Which I like that she called it crowd pleasing apple pie.
Mm-hmm. Up until then, he was in a hurry to leave, but then all of a sudden she offers the pie and he's like, oh, I guess I could stay.
Well, Kurt, I could see you doing that too.
I might, but I hope I'm getting a little better.
I love cake and pie, but if somebody baked and they offered me cake or pie and then they weren't having any themselves, I would think that's a little odd.
Yeah,
you would assume they're poisoning you.
I wouldn't necessarily assume that just yet, because nobody in the movie knows that that's Barbara's MO, but I would certainly question, like, well, why are they, like, they just spent all this time baking and they're not even going to try their own food.
And she said, I'm good. Two things, real estate and baking.
Yeah.
And poisoning. No. So actually three.
She can't let him know that one.
So
baking and poisoning, like I said, they kind of can sort of go the same thing. Because it's mixing things.
Yeah.
So he starts eating. Mm-hmm. He starts eating the pie. And then he realized that he's been poisoned. And I like the fact that he went for his phone to go call 911.
Well, because Barbara wasn't helping him. But I thought it was funny that his digestive system worked so quickly in this movie. Yes. The minute he drank his soda earlier, he started vomiting. Like the moment it hit his mouth. And then the moment the poison hits his mouth, he starts getting sick. And like, wouldn't it take a little bit of time to get into your system?
I would think.
Especially with the pie.
Yeah, unless you drank lighter fluid or something horrible like that. Yeah, I think rat poisoning might take a little while to work its
way
through.
Now, here's a question. Does rat poison not taste like anything?
I haven't had it recently.
No, because she put a lot of poison in that. So you would think that he would take a bite and would be like, ugh, this is, not good.
Well, I mean, Barbara's crowd-pleasing pie probably has a special blend of, cinnamon and sugar in just the right amounts to mask the poison taste so often reviled by pie eaters worldwide.
This is making me hungry. Also, it could have been apple-flavored rat poisoning to entice the rats.
There you go.
Who are the apple lovers.
Like, legitimately, it probably does taste like something or smell like something so that rats will try and eat it. So that's actually a good point.
You know, I just realized she has rats in her house? No. Oh, no. Maybe she just buys it for that.
No, she buys that shit in bulk because she needs it for other purposes.
Just to poison. Okay, yeah.
So
that's good. I was worried she had a real rat problem.
That's the movie we don't even get to see.
Right.
That'd be really screwed up at the end. Like, she sees a rat. It's like, damn it, I'm out of poison.
Yeah. That would be a great way for her to, like, die in the end of the movie is, like, because of the rat. Yeah.
Right. So then Kendall gets a call from Calvin's mom because Calvin never showed up for dinner in Boston. And so then Kendall sends him a text and she even asks Ethan, hey, do you mind that, you know, I'm friends with my ex? Which, if you're bringing up kids together, you're going to be friends. So that's just as dating, you got to just accept that.
In concept, I fully agree with that. But did you guys think it was weird that Barbara, posing as Calvin in responding to the text, says, and I quote, hey, beautiful, I'm on a date. He's talking to his ex-wife, who is now remarried, and refers to her as beautiful.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
That's weird.
Even though he didn't really do it, but still. But, like, she didn't question that. And neither did Ethan.
No.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Which means that, like, Kendall has a relationship with her ex-husband where he probably calls her baby, doll. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they still have pet names even though they're not together anymore.
So then, you're right. So then, Ethan and Kendall are talking, and Kendall's like realizes that I guess Bobby forgot his jacket over at Barbara's house. So Kendall goes to get it. And this is where I was very proud of Kendall. So Kendall shows up at Barbara's house. Barbara isn't at home. Kendall sees the neighbor, and Kendall decides, you know what? While I'm here and while Barbara's not home, I'm going to go and do some digging. And so then Kendall goes and befriends the neighbor.
Well, the neighbor kind of invited it too, because as Kendall's like looking around the house, the neighbor's like, she's not home.
Yeah. So Kendall goes and starts talking to the neighbor, and the neighbor was all too happy to tell Kendall.
Patty, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That Barbara used to babysit for them. Barbara saved their little girl's life because the little girl had an allergy, and Barbara just happened to have an EpiPen and just starts telling the story, and then Kendall's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is sounding way too familiar. Then we find out that Barbara started getting weird with Patty. Patty fired Barbara, and then Barbara called Child Protective Services on them to get the kid taken away.
As an anonymous tip. Yeah.
Anonymous, but then she said, but anonymous my ass.
Right.
She knows it's Barbara.
So then Kendall is like, okay, this isn't cool, and goes and tells Ethan, and then Ethan gets pissed at her. And I wrote here, fuck you, Ethan. And then Kendall is like, I don't want your mother around my kids. And Ethan tried to get lippy with her, and she kicked his ass out of the house.
She kind of suggests what is hinted at, but never really explicitly explained that, hey, you were sick a lot as a kid.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, she can't put up with that. He's never taken her side.
Right. And this is like, okay, dude, once again, you did not speak to your mom for 3 years. You were in another relationship where your mom treated your ex like this too. There's a pattern, dummy.
Oh, and he suggests that the kids like Barbara so much because she's around and Kendall hasn't been around much because her head's always in her phone. I'm like, you're a dick.
Right. And that's why Kendall's like, and that's why I love that Kendall's like, you know what? I'm just, we're done. Get out. Get out.
Yeah.
I'm sick of you. So then,
So he goes to Barbara's. He goes to his mom's with his bags.
Right.
Suitcases.
Despite packed. Her and, massive rat problem.
Right.
That's right.
And that's another thing, too. So after all this, you don't speak to your mom for years, and the first thing you do is go running to her house to stay there.
Well, and they don't want to invest in any more supporting characters or any more sets. But Barbara's so delusional, she still thinks at this point she'll be seeing the kids.
Yes.
No, Barbara, you're cut out too.
Yes. So then, so then he says, he then spills the beans about the calling the child services on the neighbor.
Uh-oh. Look out, Patty.
So then Patty comes home and Barbara is sitting in Patty's dining room. And Barbara is like, you better call Kendall and you better tell her that you were wrong or I will make sure that your kids will get taken away. So I don't know if she had blackmail on Patty. They didn't make that clear.
Well, like, how stupid is Patty? Like, if this is behavior that Barbara has exhibited before, why the hell didn't Patty move?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Or at the very least get like a restraining order or something.
Exactly, you know. And
she could have gotten, I mean, she knew a real estate agent, Barbara. She could have sold the house.
And then, you know, Patty wasn't even like, you know, get out of here, old bag. Patty was like scared.
Yeah.
So then we find out from Kendall that Patty called her and said that what she told her wasn't true. And then Barbara apologizes, but then Kendall gets a call from Calvin's mom, and we find out that Calvin is dead. But we already knew Calvin was dead. But Kendall's just now finding out that Calvin's dead.
Yeah. Police found him. He had an accident, they say.
Yes. So Kendall's very upset. They have the funeral. After the funeral, the kids are sad, of course. Ethan and Barbara come over.
I like that. That was like, it's like, we're the replacements.
Right. Yeah. Ethan and Kendall make up. Then Ethan and Barbara go out to lunch. And we find out that during this, so I guess there was a passage of time. There was like a time jump. Because Ethan and Kendall are now married, mm-hmm. and then Barbara is telling Ethan, you know what? You need to adopt those kids just in case something happens to Kendall.
Yeah.
You know?
But I also like that Barbara is like at lunch and it's like her first lunch with Ethan since like they've reconciled again, or since he and Kendall have reconciled, and Barbara is already bitching again about not getting to see the kids enough.
Yeah. So then we do like another little time jump because then we find out that the kids, Ethan did adopt the kids.
Yeah.
So he's getting ready to go on a business trip, and so the kids were going to go hang out at Barbara's. And so then Barbara calls Kendall to invite her over right after Kendall took a pregnancy test and found out that her pregnancy test was positive. So Kendall finds out she's pregnant.
Before we find that out, the kids are at Barbara's, and on the counter is an apple pie that she just baked, and the kids want some of that apple pie, and Barbara's like, oh, nope, I made that especially for your mom. Here, have a cookie.
Here, have a non-poison dessert.
Right, Right. Have a non-rat poison.
Have a non-poison pastry, and the poison pastry is for your mother.
So then Barbara's telling the kids stories. Kendall comes over, but then when Kendall, as she's walking into the house, gets a phone call from a detective. And the detective is like, we did an autopsy, and we didn't think that there was foul play, so that's... Oh, wait, oh no, they did think it was foul play.
No, they didn't, so which is why the autopsy took so long.
Right.
Like, so normally then, when they don't think it's foul play, they kind of, like, put it on the back burner.
Right. So then he's like, Calvin was poisoned, and it was probably rat poison.
Did you skip ahead, though? There's a scene with the kids, though.
No, she read them a story.
Well, she read them a story, but then they come downstairs in the middle of the night.
No, not yet. Kendall was there.
Yeah, this is after this.
Okay.
Because remember, Kendall went, then her and Barbara sit down, and Barbara serves her apple pie, and then Kendall's getting ready to eat it, and then then Kendall's like, oh, and guess what, Barbara? I'm pregnant, and Barbara goes and grabs the pie. Yeah,
she basically does like a slow motion jump across the table, like, no!
If you're pregnant, you should be eating sugar.
Yeah.
Like, she grabs the pie, and then Kendall's like, I'm an adult. I can eat whatever I want. And then Barbara's like, well, it's too much sugar. And then Kendall's like, what's your problem, lady? And so then after that night, the kids went downstairs and they saw the pie in the kitchen. And so they're cutting the pie and then and they start like fighting a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then Barbara goes downstairs and Barbara sees the chunks of pie missing and Barbara starts flipping out. And Barbara like grabs something, I guess it's probably Epigac or something that'll make the kids puke, and goes running upstairs to the kids' bedroom and wakes them up. And she's like, you need to take this right now. You need to take this right now. And the kids are like, what? And then
They didn't get their dad's lightning fast digestive system because they were totally alive.
Right. And then Kendall heard the commotion and then Kendall's like, what the hell is going on? Because Barbara's yelling and Barbara's like, the kids need to take this because the kids ate the pie. And then the kids are like, no, we didn't. We were going to eat it, but then we dropped it on the floor. So then, so they didn't eat it. And then, so then Kendall is like, okay, so why are you acting like this? You're being awfully suspicious. And then,
she said the eggs expired.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said the eggs expired. And Kendall calls Ethan and is like, your mom's a crazy bitch. Your mom's crazy. And so then...
But she's like, your mom's crazy. We're just going to stay through the night. With all of the stuff that is happening, all the weird, suspicious things that have happened, you already think Barbara is intense as fuck. Wouldn't you be like, hey, kids, you know what? We're going to go home tonight.
Yeah, we'll see grandma. Like, come over in the morning for breakfast or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you've cooled off.
Yeah. So then...
We see this in movies a lot, though. People are in, like, haunted houses, and they hang around the house.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
Because
you're sleeping in your car.
Because after all that stuff, I don't know about you guys, but I would have been so, like, riled up, I wouldn't have been able to sleep anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I want to go sleep in my own bed.
Because the kids were freaked out about the way Barbara reacted, too. So, like, they're no longer on Team Barbara.
No. So then Kendall... starts snooping. And so, because Barbara told her the eggs were bad, but then Kendall goes and she finds eggs. And
checks the eggs.
She goes, yeah, snooping for egg expiration dates.
Right.
That's right. She's reading the shaking it. Mm. Reading each expiration date on each individual egg.
Yeah.
I was impressed that Barbara drinks almond milk, though. Barbara and I see eye to eye. I drink almond milk too. It's silk almond milk.
Well, you need that when you're baking. Almond milk cuts the acidity of the rat poison.
Right. Oh, okay. That explains it.
Here comes and think of it, for a woman of a certain age, for a woman of a certain age, Barbara looked very good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara was in shape and everything.
She was not the cow that boy at school called her.
No, no. Not at all.
Wendy Malick is 69.
Is she really?
Well, really?
Yeah.
Wow. She looks great. Amazing. Yeah.
Well, she's 69. Well, no, this is a new movie, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, so she's a 69 now.
Okay, now I'm actually impressed with Wendy Malick because she does not look 69, and she doesn't look all Botoxed and stuff either.
No.
So, okay, so then Barbara catches her snooping, and then Kendall's like, okay, bitch, you were going to poison me. And so then Barbara pulls a gun on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kendall slyly dials 911 and then drops the phone. And once you call 911 and it goes through, they can track your call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then Barbara's got the gun. The kids come in. She's like, kids, get out of here. Kendall starts fighting her. Then we see the cops driving to the house.
Yeah. Another great cinematic shot of like down below the wheel of the police car.
Yeah.
I had a friend who used to work for 911 and somebody called her one time. Wanted to talk to her. So they called 911 and the operator answered. They said, may I speak to Jackie?
What did they say? Like, what?
I don't think it went well, but.
To Jackie.
I've got Jackie's Postmates order.
Right.
Hello, 911. What's your emergency? May I speak to Jackie?
Right. Oh, so then Barbara and Kendall are fighting and arguing, and then Barbara takes the gun and puts it to her own. Oh, Barbara hears the cops coming, and so then she takes the gun and puts it to her head, and she's gonna shoot herself in the head.
Yeah.
And then the cops bust in. Barbara gets arrested. Then we do another time jump. And Ethan's back. Kendall had the baby. She had a baby girl. She's naming the baby Sarah. Then we cut to the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara's in her prison garb, and she's knitting. And she's talking to her guard,
yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, I normally knit with knitting needles, but, you know, I'm not allowed to have them here. And the guard's like, well, you know, if you whip something up for my nephew, I can make things happen.
Yeah, what kind of stupid guard is she? Oh, let me sneak you some weapons?
Right.
You crazy deranged lunatic?
Here they come for it now. Yes, I think Barbara. If you
and then
wash my shirt for me in your sink, I might be able to get you a key to your cell.
Then it pans out, and Barbara has like a bunch of knitting, and on the walls is like plans for a kid's room, like a nursery.
Is that what it was? I thought maybe it was pattern plans.
Like it was, I paused it and looked at it, and it was like
I was looking at it too, but I couldn't
for a nursery
because it didn't look very detailed for like a house blueprint. But and I guess that's what it could have been, yeah.
It's just room blueprints plans over different places you could store poison in a house in case you need it in a pinch,
right? Yeah, there's little drawings of poison in the room under the board here,
right.
So then, Jason, how does it work into it? Because you said she originally wanted to name the kid Jason in the beginning. How does that?
When she held the gun. Wait, what did she say? When she was holding the gun to her head, I think she was talking to Kendall. She made some sort of reference to her grandson, her dead grandson, Jason.
She referred
to the kid days in past tense as the name she wanted to name the kid, not the name that they were going to name the kid.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah, I was wondering who that was when she's naming those random names.
Yeah.
There's another weird thing where, like, somebody called Barbara. The guy's name was Harvey. You remember those?
Oh, the lawyer.
That was her lawyer, yeah.
That was a lawyer.
Because they in the scene right before that, when she and Ethan were at lunch and she was suggesting that Ethan adopt the kids, she's like, oh, I'll call my lawyer Harvey and set up a meeting or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That explains that.
And that was it. So what'd you guys think?
It was okay. You could always be wackier, you know. And as Jason said, you have Wendy Malick, who's an accomplished comedic actress. She's been doing comedy for years. Actually, I was reading her bio, and she kind of got a comedy a little bit later in her career, and then flourished. So she certainly could have. They certainly could have had her playing it up in a campy way.
Well, especially because like her excelled. Whole brand of, like, you know, how people know her is she is really good at playing bitch and funny at the same time, and that's exactly what you need in this kind of movie.
Like, you know, it's like, look at your outfit. Oh, it's special. But then she does it in a funny, and I like the movie didn't bother me. I wasn't annoyed. Like, it did not annoy me at all. But it could have been crazier. Yeah. It could have been crazier.
I feel like they set out to make it crazier and just then backpedaled on it.
Well, okay, so I didn't know if you guys watched the commercials, but I guess they're coming, like, I guess, like this deranged granny is part of, like, a new universe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is? A deranged universe.
Because there's another movie coming on this weekend, but it's a Hallmark weekend, called I'm a Surrogate for Celebrities, and it's like, but it's like, not a good situation.
That's the name of the movie? I'm a Surrogate for Celebrities?
Yes. And
not a great title.
And you know, it is September on Lifetime, so it's Killer Cheerleader Month.
Well, Killer Cheerleader. We actually watched that.
They're showing
the wrong cheerleader. We watched the wrong cheerleader.
Yeah, but for the next few weeks, they're showing their various killer cheerleaders.
It's Lifetime's back to school programming.
Because last weekend they showed this one. This one's called Deranged Granny. They had Killer Grandma and Rabid Grannies, maybe, from the old movie. But they showed, like, a series of these movies.
Yeah.
And it was grandparents. Sunday was Grandparents' Day. So what a wonderful way to spend the weekend with your grandparents watching movies about evil grandmothers.
Yeah.
Right. And then did you see that? So Lifetime is getting in on the Christmas game. They're stepping up their Christmas game, mm-hmm. and so they started their Christmas commercials, and they're like, we have a Hallmark has their gays, well, we have a Christmas movie centered around gay people, and then they showed the commercial of the two guys kissing.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see that, but I know you sent a link that was going to be a real married gay couple, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, oh, here it is. Oh, because their commercial jingle was, it's Christmas. We have girl meets boy. And then they showed a couple, and they're like, we have boy meets boy. And then they showed the guys kissing. And so, and the people in, I forget who the actors are, but it's the stars of that movie. It's a real life gay couple. Like, they're a showbiz couple.
And so, it was two people I've never heard of.
Yeah.
One of them was on a series or something, but I didn't recognize who he was.
I like how now they're like it seems like Lifetime and Hallmark are getting more competitive with each other.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Hallmark is kind of like, okay, we're getting rid of this conservative shit. We're going to get a little down and dirtier for Hallmark, which is kind of dusty. It's not even dirty.
Yeah.
And then it seems like, for Christmas, Lifetime is like, and we'll get a little more wholesome, but not, let's not get crazy. But
yeah, Lifetime doesn't have any ornaments to sell, so they take more risks.
They just have the chloroform wipes that I keep suggesting.
Right. Wait, there was no chloroform in this movie.
No, there wasn't. See, it could have been more bonkers.
Yeah, there was no chloroform in this movie. See, stick to the tropes. You know, stick to the...
One of these shows, I'm going to tell a story. I remembered recently that I won a contest with Hallmark one time.
Oh.
Oh. All right. Jeez.
Would you win?
No, I want to know on another episode. We should do it on the next Hallmark episode.
Yeah, we'll do it on the next. Well, the next episode is the Hallmark episode.
Okay. But while we're talking about actors, I do want to apologize to Elizabeth Shue. I think on a previous episode, I said I didn't think she was working much. I was impressed that she was in a Tom Hanks movie. But she's actually had. She's on a series recently. Yeah. She's been doing a lot of stuff.
I mentioned that. She was on CSI for a couple of years.
Yeah, but for a long time in some other show. So I just hadn't seen the stuff she was in. So
they mentioned her character on Cobra Kai.
Well, she's probably going to come back.
Yeah, because
I don't see her doing that. That show. Well, it might be different on Netflix, but that show's pretty low budget.
Oh no! I was watching some interviews with people, including Elizabeth Shue, and they're asking her about it. She was open to it. She was pissed years ago that she didn't get in the Karate Kid Part 2. But okay. That was many years ago. But now people are asking her about it, and her and other people involved with the show, they're being kind of cagey, like they don't want to give it away. But it looks like she has some kind of involvement.
And I think they have a budget now.
Yeah, with Netflix, they probably do.
Yeah, they have a budget, and it's like in their top 10. And it's been in their top 10 for weeks.
And it's also a situation where how often is an actor that much in demand, that somebody's really asking, like they really, there's such a big fan base that wants that actor to play the character again. It's like, why not?
On one hand, yes, but on the other hand, like his character in Cobra Kai is seemingly happily married. So why are they going to bring back his ex-girlfriend from high school?
I'll work it in. I don't know. It could be interesting.
And it's like the wife, because when you get further in the seasons, his wife is actually a cool lady.
Yeah.
Like she's, because in season two, her part gets bigger and she's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Good.
And I do like how they got everybody back other than Pat Morita. For, mm-hmm. obvious reasons. But,
Is his mom back?
Yes.
Yeah, the mom's back. Yeah, she's in season one. What else is kind of cool? On YouTube, if you're interested, the original Karate Kid, John Avildsen, who was the director, he had a YouTube channel. He's no longer with us, but a YouTube channel. And he had filmed rehearsals of the Karate Kid. Like they went to locations, they shot rehearsals with a VHS camera.
Yeah.
And somebody edited it all together. So you can watch the whole movie in like these VHS rehearsals.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And for pushing 60, Ralph Macchio still looks pretty good.
He looks damn good for his. Yeah, like I was about to watch it with some friends. And they're like, oh, he's looking kind of old. I'm like, dude, he's almost 60. He looks amazing.
Yeah, he's pushing 60. He looks great.
The Karate Kid, I believe, was the first movie that I saw without my parents or my grandmother.
Oh.
Like I saw it with a friend instead.
Was it PG?
I'm sure it was.
Probably PG, yeah.
Because how would you get it? Yeah, PG. PG-13? Because it was PG and PG-13.
Probably, yeah.
Which, I don't know what the difference between PG and PG-13 is.
There's PG-13 can be a little more violent. They probably allow a couple more swear words.
Right.
Remember, there was a few years I tried to have NC-17 because... Because the X rating is the only rating that wasn't copyrighted, so like any movie could be an X. Mm-hmm. So they came with NC-17, like a legit X. But then newspapers wouldn't advertise NC-17 movies.
And
so
theaters theater chains wouldn't carry them either.
Yeah, that was probably it. I think there are a couple of Scandal. There's a movie called Scandal. I think it was NC-17. And
Wait, the British late, like it was in England or something?
I don't remember. I don't think I ever saw it. Was Henry in June? Was that maybe an NC-17?
Really?
Maybe not. I don't, maybe I'm wrong. But I think there was a movie called Scandal that was NC-17. They had Lieutenant, I think, may have been NC-17.
Uh-huh. Anywho.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, if you like what you hear, please give us a review. We'd love a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to us on, which we're on several now. So give us a review.
It's not iTunes, it's Apple Podcasts.
Oh, Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
I keep on forgetting. If you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can go to my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. I have a couple other podcasts. If you like soap operas, you can listen to me talk about soap operas on Soap Opera Love in the Afternoon. If you are a fan of reality shows or of Bravo in particular, and you like autobiographies written by reality stars, you can also catch me on the Reality Reading Rainbow.
Oh, I want to listen to that. I forgot about that one. You sent us a link to that.
Yeah. Jason.
You can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
I am at KurtFitzpatrick.com. That's Kurt with a K. And I am still doing comedy sketches for Fringe Live Stream, which you can find on Facebook Live every Thursday night, at least up until October 18th of this year. And October 18th, we don't know this for sure yet. I may be doing my own little comedy special on Fringe Live Stream, a live show on October 8th, but I'll let everybody know about that as we get closer.
And that is it. So I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.